Hello. Welcome to Blacter. Join me as I examine the best of black artists in my quest to becoming one myself. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Blacter. I'm your host, Gabe Moses. After getting some feedback on when to end season 1, I've decided to end at episode 20, which will be on September 15th. Before I return to school, I'll have time to pre-record a few episodes as not to overload myself with work. I also have a very special treat for the season finale, so stay tuned for that. Today's episode is dedicated to Terrell Alvin McCraney, the American playwright. Throughout the show, I'll be talking about how McCraney has used his writing to be a voice for young black gay men, as well as illustrate brotherhood and family within the black community. So let's get into it. Terrell Alvin McCraney was born on October 17th, 1980, in Liberty City, Florida. He grew up very poor, with a father who left home when he was still a kid. His mother was a drug addict and struggled to take care of her children. McCraney soon found a passion for acting. As a teenager, he joined an improv troupe directed by Tio Castellanos, who soon became his close mentor. Castellanos pointed McCraney to more dance and theater companies that tackled social issues through performance. As McCraney grew up, he began to come to terms with his sexuality. He recalled seeing transgender people within his neighborhood. It wasn't long until he saw the lack of acceptance towards the LGBTQ community. He was afraid to live his truth as a young gay man, but this would soon change through his love of storytelling. He attended the Charles Drew Mays Middle School and South Miami High School. He went on to attend and graduate from the New World School of the Arts High School. He received many awards for his contribution to their arts program, including the Dean's Award in Theater. McCraney applied to Juilliard, but was rejected in 1999. He went on to attend the theater school at DePaul University in Chicago. He received his Bachelor's of Fine Arts in Acting. Before going on to grad school, McCraney was 22 years old when his mother passed away from AIDS. His upcoming works as a playwright would discuss his complicated relationship with his mother. McCraney then attended the Yale School of Drama. During his time there, he worked alongside the great American playwright, August Wilson. Wilson inspired McCraney to write his own plays about the life he lives and has seen as a black man. After graduating in 2007 from the playwriting program, McCraney received the Cole Porter Award for playwriting. His works were already being recognized for greatness, and this was just the beginning. Before his career as a playwright, McCraney was an actor. He worked with the Steppenwolf Theater in Chicago with Tina Landau, the North Light Theater with B.J. Jones, and in Paris, France with Peter Brook. By 2008, he was finally working as a playwright. McCraney became the resident playwright at the Royal Shakespeare Company in London. He was able to showcase his early plays in a place where he didn't have to worry about being judged. One of these plays is called American Trade. In 2009, McCraney won the New York Times Outstanding Playwright Award for his play, The Brother's Sighs. This play is included in his trilogy of plays called Brother-Sister Plays. Before The Brother's Sighs is a play called In the Red and Brown Water, and the third play is called Marcus, or The Secret Suite. The trilogy explores the Yoruba mythology. McCraney dedicated these plays to his siblings and his relationship with them. The three plays are set in the projects of Louisiana. Here is a clip of McCraney explaining how the Brother's Sighs came to be. Enjoy.
I mean, the Brother's Sighs is an interesting project in that it's one of the first plays that I've ever written. It's one of the few pieces that I wrote while I was in Chicago. I wrote it my last year at DePaul University. I wrote it alongside of a piece an infamous piece called In Moonlight Black Boys Look Blue. And I didn't write it down until I read a Yoruba, which is a West African cosmology that came to the Americas via the slave trade and has been, you know, flourishing since. There's a simple two-line poem, if you will, that basically says Ogun's brother is missing and Ogun builds tools to find him. And when I read that, I thought, that's my life. I know that life. I know what it's like to miss my brother, not know where they are, and then make a way to find them. And Brother Size was my way to find them. But more than anything, I think the play was there to discuss just something that I couldn't put words to at the time, and probably still can't, which is that, you know, the prison industrial complex as we know it destroys families and changes lives forever. And because my brother came out of jail completely changed, and there was no way to help him. And that haunted me. That haunts me still. That's terrifying. I feel useless. It's good, as an artist, you always want to make sure that you have work that is relevant. You also sometimes wish you had a period piece, and that is just not the case with Brother Size. Those, the same issues that plagued those three men in the play, plagued them now. It's necessary that we think of these young people, particularly in this story, these young men, fully in terms of the pressures that they're getting. And I think that's one of the reasons why the play was so important to me, because it wasn't about trying to take on the entire system. I just wanted to look at the intimate, nuanced moments of what these people who are in this tight relationship do in response to that system.
We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to the episode. McCraney's plays would continue to earn more recognition. In 2010, he became the 43rd member of the Steppenwolf Theater Ensemble, where his plays were widely produced. His next hit, called Wig Out, was produced at the Vineyard Theater in New York. This play centers around a black drag queen and her journey to self-love and acceptance. The play was the winner of the GLAAD Award for Outstanding Play. McCraney continued to highlight his experience growing up black and queer with a play called Choir Boy. Choir Boy takes place in an all-boys prep school, specifically for black teens. Farish Jonathan Young, a flamboyantly gay black teen, is the lead of the school's gospel choir and learns to navigate through his relationship with his fellow classmates, both allies and enemies. The play first premiered in 2012 at the Royal Court Theatre in London. It went on regional tours throughout the next few years, before finally landing on Broadway in 2018. The play starred Jeremy Pope as Ferris and Chuck Cooper as Headmaster Marrow, two amazing actors. Choir Boy was nominated for 5 Tony Awards, including Best Play, Best Choreography, and Best Performance by an Actor in a Leading Role in a Play. The play won Best Sound Design, and the music director, Jason Michael Webb, won a special honorary award. The play also examines the African-American experience through Negro spirituals and gospel music. Ferris strives to carry on the legacy of music for the black community in his school. There is a very powerful monologue in the middle of the play where Ferris articulates the history of Negro spirituals and why they can still be relevant to today's black youth. Here to recite this monologue is the wonderful Justin Mitchell. Enjoy.
When I was little, my grandmother would sing songs to me that she told me freed slaves. Not physically, but spiritually. She said singing these songs deep in the night here helped teach and coax other slaves, runaway and free, into peace, serenity, Let them know God was with them everywhere they went, gave them strength and spiritual nourishment. Thus, we call them Negro spirituals. She also would add, they say these songs helped guide slaves to freedom if they ran away, mapped out the geography, and guided them through the night. But with her shy self, she would also say, I don't know about all that. I always wondered about how she didn't know about all that. Her admission of ignorance, I later gathered, was because Grandma wasn't there. She wasn't a slave, and neither was her mother, and even if she was, there was no way to pass down the direct understanding of what a Negro spiritual like Wade in the Water meant to a slave who had just run away. What she could verify by means of the right now was that these songs still gave her courage, gave her strength. You could hear how Keep Your Hand on the Plow later became Keep Your Eyes on the Prize and resulted in Yes, We Can. So rather than continuing to pass down these maybes to each other, why do we never pass down what we know to be true? That these songs forged in the shame and brutality of oppression are diamonds that glint and prove true that hope and love can live, thrive, and even sing. There is no substantive proof that spirituals contain coded secret passageways to freedom. And I know some would condemn me for saying thus and breaking a long tradition of faith that we were creative enough, strong enough, to rebel even if the music that did oppress us. But the rhythm and the joy and the spiritual uplifting that the music made, makes still. That is proof. That strength, that is the rebellion. For we left earthly things to the oppressors by way of this music, and we joined the ranks of the heavenly host with its praise and love.
While Choir Boy was on Broadway, McCraney's work was gracing the big screen as well. In 2016, the film Moonlight hit theaters. This movie was an adaptation of McCraney's early play titled In Moonlight, Black Boys Look Blue. Barry Jenkins directed this film and also wrote the screenplay, taking a good chunk of dialogue from McCraney's original text. The story centers around a black man coming to terms with his sexuality in three different stages of his life: a child, a teenager, and a young adult. It's a semi-autobiographical story about McCraney's life. This is where we really see how his upbringing shapes who he is. The film stars Mahershala Ali, Naomi Harris, Janelle Monáe, Jarrell Jerome, and Andre Holland. The main character, Chiron, who is loosely based off of McCraney, is played by three different actors. Alex Hibbert plays him as a young child, Ashton Sanders plays him as a teen, and Trevante Rhodes plays him as an adult. The film is dynamic, and I highly suggest watching it. It is currently available on Netflix. Moonlight was nominated for several awards at the Golden Globes and won Best Motion Picture Drama. However, there would be more controversy at the Oscars with their win. When the award for Best Picture was being given, La La Land was mistakenly awarded. It was only a matter of seconds when Moonlight was announced as the true winner for Best Picture. I'm sure everyone remembers this moment, because I certainly do. The movie was the first all-black picture to ever win this award. McCraney made history with his story. Mahershala Ali also won for Best Supporting Actor, and Jenkins and McCraney won the award for Best Adapted Screenplay, a movie that made history in the motion picture industry. McCraney has many other plays, movies, and projects, such as Head of Passes, High Flying Bird, and David Makes Man. He continues to put black men on a high pedestal in his scripts, and will never stop telling the world about the experience of being black and queer in America. I'm excited to follow his journey to more success. To end this episode, Akeshi McCoy and I will be reciting a scene from Choir Boy. This is an early scene in the play where Ferris meets with the headmaster to discuss a recent turn of events at the school's graduation ceremony. I would like to thank Aikeshi McCoy and Justin Mitchell for lending their voices and talents to this episode, and thank you for listening. With that being said, please enjoy this scene from Choir Boy by Terrell Alvin McCraney.
I said it. I reminded you at rehearsal in April, didn't I?
Yes, Headmaster Mara.
I said, Ferris, whatever you do, don't stop singing the school song until every student is gathered and seated on that stage. What did you say then?
Why?
I knew right then you would take that opportunity to be defiant. Trouble.
Trouble, sir?
Up to something. I'm up there explaining to the board why. You think I want to be explaining anything to the board? Why him, they ask. Why that one? Well, he's the best, regardless of his...
You said that about me, sir?
Yes.
I mean, it's true, but you said...
Ferris.
Sir?
Why, after I asked you not to, told you you couldn't, made you understand the tradition, pointed out its potency, did you get up there at the seniors' graduation, a day that should afford them every rite and ritual of the ceremony, and mess up their moment? Why?
Would you rather be feared or respected, Headmaster?
Ferris.
It keeps me up at night.
It does not.
If you're respected, people give you space. But if they fear you, they jump it back off the curb.
Son, what does this have to do with you breaking a 49-year-old tradition? What does this have to do with me needing to get your mama on the phone because the board wants you expelled? Or to take away your scholarship when they know that means you can't attend?
I can't afford to.
A few of you could. There you have it, a financial crisis, 2 years on this job, and I got board members talking about withdrawing money all because...
Sir, you can't. I earned that scholarship.
I know.
And that place in singing the song, sir, you said...
I did.
Don't let them...
You are tying my hands. Give me some answers. I could say, did you get nervous?
I am a professional.
Something caught in your throat.
This the Lord's passageway. Let no follicle formed against me prosper.
Ferris.
Was distracted.
By what?
All of the pomp and circumstance and all. So much noise, and I was overwhelmed and in awe of my dear school, thinking soon, and very soon, those graduating, that'll be me.
Why were you turned around?
There was something swelling at the back.
Don't lie.
Sir, there is nothing I want to do more than be and act as a true man should. I try to conduct my behavior by the book. I do not lie, and I don't snitch.
So someone distracted you? Someone was talking to you on stage?
To me?
About you. Calling you?
Everything but a child of God. And I'm sorry, sir. I jumped, sir, but luckily not too far. I heard that whisper and I didn't answer back. I just kept on singing. And everything worked out all right, right? In the end, it was all 4-5 seconds.
I see. I'm sorry. I lost my temper. Listen.
I was voted next year's choir lead. Almost unanimously, you hear?
That's quite an honor, a privilege. At least it was in my day.
I know. I'm ready. I want you to be proud too, sir.
That choir means a lot to the school. We've relied on its support since.
Founded by the second headmaster who heard a group of boys singing in the showers and decided to use a choir to gain attention and financial support for the little all-boys school that could. Why the headmaster was close enough to hear them boys singing in the showers, I'll never know.
Ferris.
But that was olden times. People was just more closer then, I guess.
Ferris.
Sir?
I need to speak to the student who was calling you things on the choir stand.
I can't say.
Right. I know you don't want to be a stool pigeon.
Ha! Oh, headmaster, you're so Columbo. Stool pigeon?
Who was it, Ferris?
You know the rule. A true man doesn't tell on his brother.
He allows him the honor to confess himself.
It may seem silly, but ever since I was a little boy, I wanted to grow up and be a Drew man. I couldn't possibly say who they were.
Hey.
Have a good summer, Headmaster.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. You can follow me on Instagram at Gabe J. Moses. Be sure to follow and subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts to get updates on new episodes every Tuesday and Friday. Until next time, I'm Gabe Moses. and black artists matter.